Hey friends, I wanted to take a moment to tell you about my new book, Negotiation Made Simple. For the past 20 years, I have helped business people put together important deals, lawyers settle big lawsuits, small business owners grow their business by getting the most value for their product possible. And through this, I've learned a process on how to use negotiation to deliver outstanding deals. This particular book is those 20 years and everything I've learned about negotiation that's packaged in a very practical guide for solving problems, building relationships, and delivering the next deal. I hope you will jump in, buy this book, read this book, put it to work, and in doing so, you will be equipped to get better negotiation outcomes and to get what you want, not only in business, but in life as well. Go purchase Negotiation Made Simple wherever you buy books and use 2024 as an opportunity to take your next step in your negotiation success. Welcome to Negotiation Made Simple, where we help you master the art of negotiation and win the next deal. I'm your host, John Lowry. We are at the second part of this three-part series on peace, and I'm excited today to make things really practical and to give some advice on how it is that we can respond to a moment of conflict in a way that promotes peace. There will always be conflict. In each of our lives, we will have conflict. Some of it will be very personal, some of it will be more professional, but wherever conflict will find us. And so it's really important that we know how to respond in such a moment because our response is critical to determining how costly that conflict will be. And so in this episode, I'm going to share with you five different approaches and then give you some counsel in terms of what approach to use and how to use it in such a way that conflict can become constructive. And as a result of it, we can make the world a better place. Let's jump into this episode and think about these five different approaches to conflict. As we move into the second part of this three-part series on peace, I want to begin to help people think about how is it that they can become more strategic in their response to conflict. Anytime we are faced with conflict, it does a lot to us. It literally brings about a physiological and emotional response, in addition to the psychological impact, in addition to the stress, in addition to all of that, the reality is that there is a cost to conflict. And what people are seeing, I think, is that they're starting to experience this cost very personally in their lives and even physiologically in their bodies. Conflict is a stress-producing thing. And that's why people want to avoid conflict almost at all cost. But if you're working in business, if you're managing people, if you're leading big initiatives, if you're operating inside of a large organization, the reality is you won't be able to escape conflict. Conflict is a part of life. It's something that all of us have to have the skills to be able to take on and to overcome when it presents itself. And so I think about my kids' sports and all of the conflict that exists around my kids' sports. It is just amazing. You've got parents that don't like coaches and coaches that are trying to manage these parents and the conflict that exists around this particular child and the expectations for this young athlete and what to do when the young athlete isn't rising to those expectations and the conflict that can emerge as a result of it. It just seems overwhelming at times in terms of the amount of conflict that we have. And now we have media that's kind of feeding into it, to where the media loves to create conflict. And so we turn on the TVs and we don't escape from it. We don't find a respite. We just find more conflict. And so we're living in a world that is fraught with conflict. And then we wonder why we feel exhausted. We wonder why there are escalating mental health issues among the people that we are around. We wonder why we try to isolate ourselves and then find that we're lonely. The reality is that as a society, we must get much better at managing conflict. But what I want to do today is I want to take it down to a very individual, practical level. And I want to think with you how it is that we might deal with a specific moment of conflict and do so in a strategic, constructive, and hopefully emotionally healthy way. So let me take you to my front door. Maybe some of you have had this moment as well, to where somebody knocks on your front door. They're not selling anything. It's just a kind of a random person. And so I go to the front door and I open my front door, and here is this wonderful gentleman who seems very friendly, and he introduces himself as my neighbor. Now I find out he lives down the street. I've never met him before, but I have no reason to believe he's not my neighbor. And we get to know each other a little bit, and then he talks about how he's very concerned about the speed of cars traveling down our street. Now, I'm not as concerned about that. I don't think that's a huge issue, but he is fired up, and he's ready to charge the hill, if you will. And so he's inviting other neighbors to join him in going down to the city council and demanding that the city council do something about the speed on our particular street. So in this moment, I've got to make a decision. I've got to decide, do I want to join him in his cause? Do I perhaps want to take him on and fight him and keep it from happening? Or do I just kind of want to stay out of this? And so as I think about it, the first thing I do is I weigh the relationship. Now, this gentleman is my neighbor. I'm taught to love my neighbor. I want to be a good neighbor, but I don't necessarily feel compelled to give night after night going down to the city council demanding that they put speed bumps or signage or something on the street to slow people down. And so the relationship is not really that important to me. This person is a stranger. I don't know this person at all. And then I start thinking about the issue. And the issue is not really important to me either. I don't really think cars travel too fast. There hasn't been any accidents that I'm aware of that resulted from speed. I just don't think that it's a huge issue, and certainly it's not one that the city needs to spend a lot of money on, or we need to disrupt all the neighbors with speed bumps and things like that. So the issue is just not that important to me either. And so because the relationship isn't important and because the issue is not important, that's probably a dispute that I am going to avoid. Now notice, I'm avoiding it very strategically. Most people avoid conflict because it's the most comfortable approach. And they avoid it with a hope that the issue will go away or that the dispute will resolve itself. And what they find is that actually what happens is just the opposite. The dispute escalates. The issue becomes more complex and more costly to resolve. And so typically avoidance is not a great approach to managing conflict. But there are some cases where if you don't care about the relationship and you don't care about the issue, strategically it makes sense to avoid the conflict. Okay, let's go back to my front door. This time I get a knock on the front door, and I go to my front door, and there is one of my colleagues from work. Now, if you've had this happen to you, your colleague in this particular moment was not being nice to you. Okay? It's a beautiful thing that they decided to come to your front door to have this moment, but this is really kind of a setup. So in this particular situation, here is my colleague, and she's standing at my front door with her 8 or 9 year old daughter. And her 8 or 9 year old daughter has a clipboard. And so I open the door, I say hi, I greet her young daughter, and her young daughter starts the speech. And she has this all memorized. She's ready to go. You can tell she's a little nervous. And so here she is asking me to buy a magazine subscription to support her. I forgot what the cause was. I think it maybe was a little basketball team that she was on. And so in this moment, notice I am in a predicament because I don't want a magazine subscription. I don't need a magazine subscription. I don't even read magazines in hard copy format anymore. It's kind of all online these days. But here she is. Now, the challenge I have is that I value the relationship with my colleague. And so the relationship is really important to me. But the issue of me needing another magazine, that's not really important to me. But because the relationship is so important, I'm probably going to do something. And in fact, in that moment, I did something that I did not want to do. And I took that clipboard and I filled it out and I subscribed to a magazine that I didn't want or didn't need. And I did it because of the relationship with my colleague. And so notice there, when the relationship is really important, but the issue is not as important, then in that moment, it makes sense to accommodate. If it's not too costly, and yet it will strengthen relationship, then accommodation becomes strategic. Now, notice that for some people, especially kind of competitive, hard-charging folks, they think accommodation is weakness. They're always looking to get value for whatever it is that they give. And in many cases, that's valuable, but in some cases, it's not what it's about. It's simply about letting the other side have their victory and doing it because the relationship is important. And so accommodation is at times very strategic in terms of how to approach kind of a moment of conflict. Now, let's assume, and God forbid this ever happens. Hopefully it never happens in your life, and hopefully it never happens in mine. But let's assume that I hear a knock on the door, and I go to the door, and there's someone there, and they're threatening harm to me or my family, or they're trying to get into my house when they're not invited, or something dangerous is about to happen. And because it's a threat, because the issue of the well-being of my house and my family is important to me, and because this stranger that I don't know, who the relationship is not important at all, because now the issue is much more important than the relationship, probably what you're going to get in that moment is a fight. You're probably going to get competition. And that is a strategic response when the issue is critically important and the relationship is not important. And so if someone attempts to do that, I'm probably going to put up a pretty significant fight. And that response is not instinctual. It is strategic. It's well thought out in terms of what do I need to do in this situation to accomplish what I want to accomplish, and that is to protect my family. So in these moments, it makes sense. It makes strategic sense to be very competitive. Now, the world is not that black and white. What happens is in so many situations, especially in the business setting, well, the issue is kind of important, but the relationship is kind of important. We want the client. We want the next deal with the client, but they're asking for a significant discount in the pricing. And so we can't discount all the way because we won't make any money on the business. But at the same time, we want to discount a little bit because we want to keep the client. We want to get the deal. And so usually things are kind of in the middle. And so in the middle, this is where we find ourselves in the world of compromise. Now, the world of compromise, many people mistake that as win-win. I want to be real about it. The world of compromise, it is a way in which we can deal with a lot of issues. It's very effective, but I want you to understand that compromise involves losing. There's a cost to compromise. Compromise asks you to give up something in a world where you may not want to give it up. And as a result of that, when we compromise, there's some sacrifice that is being made in order to capture what we can capture. And because it's a world of compromise, it often isn't everything that we want. And yet we just get to a place to where we're barely satisfied, and the other side is barely satisfied. And so as a result of that, we find a way to kind of move forward. That helps with a lot of business transactions. It helps with a lot of consumer transactions, but it's not good in terms of managing people, because if they feel like they have to compromise again and again and again as it relates to their work situation or their workload or the resources they have to do their work, eventually that compromising is going to compound. And eventually that compromising is going to actually turn into resentment, and you're going to be on a difficult path in terms of keeping that employee engaged, keeping that employee productive, and probably keeping that employee at your company. And so as a result of that, compromise is not something that we just want to gravitate to immediately when we have these clashes, when we have these moments of conflict. And so where I want to call people to go is to really think about this idea of collaboration. Now, collaboration is a word that sadly has been very much overused. And frankly, I'll argue that collaboration actually is valued too high by some organizations. And what I mean by that is that organizations are so committed to collaboration that if they can't reach full consensus, which is what they mistake collaboration for, then they don't do much. And as a result of that, they're not keeping up with the times. They're not keeping up with their competition. They're not finding and adopting the best practices to serve their clients or to serve their customers or whoever it is that they're serving. And so these organizations that value collaboration at such a high level, they often find themselves actually falling behind. There's a great book called Collaboration written by a Stanford business professor, and he in detail studied this phenomenon in terms of looking at where collaboration makes sense and also looking at moments where it doesn't make as much sense. But in a moment of conflict, I think collaboration can be very useful, because what collaboration says is that the relationship is important and the issue is important. And then it calls on us to get creative about how it is that we find ways to resolve the issue, but do so in ways that advance the relationship. And so to get real practical, there are many moments as a manager or as a business person where you will have to say no. Someone will want a discount that you can't give, or someone will want to expand the scope of a project such that all of your profit goes away and you just can't do it. Or you'll have an employee that comes in and asks for a pay raise. Or you'll have another employee that comes in and wants a flexible working schedule. And you just can't say yes to this stuff. And so here's the moment where we want to get collaborative. We want to understand what's driving the position or what's driving the request. And then I love these two words. One is no. You got to say no in some circumstances. And some people just say no and they leave it at that. And they have the power to say no and they do that. And as a result of that, that no actually becomes really costly. Because when people hear it, they want to withdraw. They want to disengage. They get upset. They get angry. They do a lot of things that aren't healthy for a team or an organization. And so here's the other word that you want to add is no, but. And then in the but, begin getting really creative about what you might be able to give. It may not be exactly what they've asked for or what they want, but it is an opportunity to make sure that they see you investing in the relationship, that they see you trying to reach out and to not just live in this world of conflict, but try to create some level of peace by offering something else that is of value. And so I love the idea of no, but. And so as you take these kind of five different strategic ideas in how to respond to conflict. There is avoid, accommodate, compete, compromise, and collaborate. So where I think that you can add value to the world this week is that when you find yourself in a moment of conflict, or you find yourself in a moment of disagreement, where there is a potential clash that is going to happen, that instead of just doing what you think is the intuitive, comfortable thing to do, instead of doing what is just best for you in advancing your position, to step back and to pause and to think strategically about what would be the best response to this particular moment. And then do that by weighing the importance of the relationship versus the importance of the issue. And if we can get to a place to where people start thinking like this, what will happen is that conflict will be easier to work through. And the cost of conflict that we talked about at the top of this podcast, that cost will go down. And people will find a way to where, even though they don't disagree on everything, even though what they want is not what reality necessarily is, they will find a way to generate peace. And so my father, he has this famous quote where he says, "Peace is not the absence of conflict. Peace is knowing how to manage conflict efficiently, effectively, and respectfully." That's peace. And my hope is that by taking these five approaches, by having the understanding and the sophistication that when you're faced with a potential moment of conflict, or maybe an actual moment of conflict, you can step back and think strategically. And by doing so, you will lead the conflict on a more productive path to getting resolved in a way that can protect or promote peace within your company, within your team, within your family, within your organization, within your community, whatever it is. Your approach, your response makes a huge difference in how conflict will permeate throughout society. And regardless of your position, regardless of who you are or what you do, you can help push peace across this earth by the way in which you manage the conflict that comes at you. And if all of us do this, then we'll get to a place to where we have a more conflict-competent society. And as a result of that, I promise you things will get much better. So it won't be long until you run into your next conflict. And I hope as a result of this episode, you will have a more strategic approach about how to manage that conflict more constructively. Our world is in need of peacemakers. And part of peacemaking is knowing how to manage a process that generates peace. So often, conflict becomes damaging, not because of the original issue, but because both sides, or all the different sides, didn't handle it in a constructive way. And now all of a sudden, you have victims, you have innocent bystanders that are negatively impacted by the conflict. We don't want that for our world. What we want is a world where, yes, there will be disagreement, and with diversity comes disagreement, but we want a world in which we can work through that disagreement and continue to live in peace. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Negotiation Made Simple podcast. This was the second of a three-part series, and we look forward to seeing you back for the third part of our series on peace.